Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Connecticut.
I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, what's going on? Welcome to the College Campus Tailgate Show. I am your host for the next 60 minutes, TP Timeless. Man, let me tell you, the month of March is over. We are in the middle of the month of April. The national championship games are in front of us. And I said games with an S because we're going to talk about men and women's games as much as possible. These Cinderella slippers are falling off fast. But before we get into it, let me get into the co-host with me this morning going into the afternoon, calling in by way of the state of Indiana, by way of the state of California, by way of the state of, well, he's been around the world, and Chris Barnett, welcome to the College Campus Tailgate. How are you feeling this morning?
Very good morning, Timeless, man. It has been a crazy, crazy 24 hours in women's college hoops. I'm still kind of getting over it. I'm doing great here to chop it up with you and get some hot plates being served about some ball. Man, I'm stoked. I'm ready.
Okay, and also we have calling in. We're getting live info, you guys, from Indianapolis, by way of the region of Georgia, by way of the region of Michigan, the Big Ten guy himself, DT, a.k.a. Deshaun Tate. Welcome to the tailgate. How are you feeling this morning?
Well, top of the morning to you guys. I do appreciate this platform. I remember I came to you guys and talked about putting this show together, man, or something for March Madness for college basketball season. And, you know, we've been rolling each week. And, you know, I'm just appreciative that y'all have taken time out of your busy schedules, but even more so, looking forward to diving into some of the college basketball stuff for Final Four, because I'll tell you what, I want to make sure I preface things by saying this first. We got to give some credit, man, to these kids and the sacrifices that they've made, because they've done this without being able to see their families and fans not being able to be in the crowd and putting stuff up their nose, COVID testing, and just it's been very different for them. And they're kids. We're adults, so we understand different. And, like, you ain't heard no stories about the kids sneaking out of the bubble and doing nothing crazy. Like, I just think we got to give a little bit of credit to the kids for the job that they've done so far up to this point, man.
That is true. And in impact and not jeopardizing a lot of situations. And the one thing that, like, robbed my spirit was what happened to VCU earlier this year, well, earlier within the tournament, that they couldn't play because one of the players tested positive with the COVID, so they couldn't advance or play or anything. So that was tough within itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was just saying, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I wanted to throw out a little bit of I wanted to throw something out there to your time, because that's where – sorry about that. Got a lot going on, man. My anxiety going crazy. I'm dropping stuff left and right. But I do want to let you know something real quick, something that's just coming down the pipeline, man, some breaking news. Former Georgetown center Qudus Wahab is transferring from Georgetown to Maryland, it's become official.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier this week about leaving, and this is the frustration that I have with, like, Patrick Ewing being a coach and watching all of his talent leave. Like, that's letting me know something, that every last one of these players that are good or gaining ground to success that are leaving the university, it spells a lot in front of Patrick Ewing. Like, I'm not content with it. You guys heard me on how much I pick at Patrick. This is incredible. This is back-to-back years that this has happened. You lost Mac McClung, James Akinjo, and LeBlanc last year, and then you lose Wahab. Your whole core of your team is gone. Like, what? That says a lot about the coach. I don't get it. I mean, we could throw that around before I jump into the women's. I mean, how do you guys feel about that? I mean, Deshaun, you brought it up. Your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think losing Wahab is going to hurt nearly as much as losing McClung. I think collectively the things that have happened with some of the other guys, being Akinjo and this guy and that guy, and I forget the other guy's name that I can't think of right now who have recently transferred a little bit more recently, but I think it's not so much about Wahab and where he's going or the decision that he made. I think it's just about what is the issue in general with players not wanting to play for Patrick Ewing, number one. And number two, I think the fact that the transfer portal is either at – so I think I heard yesterday it was somewhere around like 1,300 yesterday, 12 or 1,300. It's going to get up to 1,500 for sure and likely going to surpass that. So that probably lightens the blow a little bit because he's not the only one. Like, there's a lot of guys that are going to enter in this portal.
Do you think right. there's a possibility that maybe he's just too old school of a coach?
It could be. I mean, he's never coached. This is all new water to him. Like, I don't know what could be happening, you know? Like, I mean, your thoughts on it, Chris. I mean, how do you feel about it? I mean, his approach may be old school, knowing that he came from the system of John Thompson Jr. and the years of the 80s, but knowing that he had to grow within the game, especially being in the NBA, knowing what the NBA wants to see or need, and it has to transition to any other players that came to him. I think a lot of the players have come to Georgetown because they know that he has an in to the league, let alone he's a dream teamer. Like, I don't know. Your thoughts on it, Chris?
I was actually wondering this last year, like, maybe it's because also, like, how he recruits. Maybe being a coach, and maybe he's recruiting wrong and rubbing players the wrong way by, like, promising minutes or positions. I don't know. Because you would think that a Hall of Fame center with a storied NBA career, with ties to Georgetown, with John Thompson, you would think that there would be a resurgence, right? And the fact that we're now seeing back-to-back years with Georgetown players who are important to, you know, that team's season's success and back-to-back years leave, it is shocking, right? Like, you have to admit something is wrong.
I think so. And I was trying to be brutal because I want him gone now, but I said like 1 to 2 years left within like believing in what Patrick is bringing. Like, these guys were at the bottom of the Big East, and luckily somehow they pulled off the run to win the Big East tournament. Like, that probably saved them some time. But with this upcoming season, with the draft class that he's bringing in, he's also bringing in Dikembe Mutombo's son. I'm wondering if that is something, but Wahab had a decent season at being a big for Georgetown. He was the better of the big men that they had. Like, I don't know how to interpret this situation because it's fresh as of this week. It's finalized as of today here in the breaking news that DT threw out there. I just want to know where Patrick goes from here. He's losing a good amount of pieces, including Wahab as well. Wahab was going into his junior season. Why would he leave when he would be the big man on campus, especially leaving a college like Georgetown? Like, not to just discredit the University of Maryland, but not only playing with a guy like Patrick Ewing, but to get a degree from Georgetown University wouldn't feel better or look better. So I don't know. Like, that says a lot. It says a lot. Patrick Ewing has to answer some questions. I can't wait to hear how he's addressing this situation. And hopefully they get better. I mean, Georgetown did win the Big East tournament, but they have to get better than the record that they showed up with. They were under 500 going into that tournament. They were under 500. They have to go out and have, like, a single-digit amount of losses. Like, they were double-digit losers in a season with less games. Like, there's too many questions for Patrick to answer. And this is also personal because I love the team, but also this, a lot of coaches got fired for less, or you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I didn't mean to cut you off, though. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was just going to agree with your point. Like, I'm from there. I love the University of Maryland. But if you're going to say what degree you want, you go with that Georgetown paper. Like, that's without question. And then to lose him to Maryland, which is, you know, considered, you know, basically an in-state recruiting rival, is really a killer blow, too. And this isn't the first time, again, like we looked last year, that he has just simply lost out on the recruiting war. And like, getting Dikembe Sun, people might say is a great thing, but, like, didn't we all know Dikembe Sun was going to go to Georgetown? So I agree, Tyler. Like, it's baffling. And you're right. If he doesn't get, like, a 20-7 season next year, like, I think they really need to think about transitioning to a younger coach and possibly, you know, freshening up the culture around the program.
It says a lot on why the NBA around that entire league, no team wanted to hire Patrick Ewing as a head coach. I guess they feel that he wasn't ready. That's the only way I could look at it. And looking at this, every season that he's been with Georgetown, he's had double-digit losses out the gate. Like, how do they get better watching or dealing with this and saying, well, he needs to get his recruiting class. This is his first head coaching stint, and there's no success. I mean, the success right now is his Big East tournament championship that he got this year. That's the lone success. You watch your All-American athletes leave. Period. There's nothing else I could say in back-to-back seasons. Okay, so let's get started because that I could talk about Georgetown for the rest of the show. I sure can, believe me. It's getting personal, and I'm very mad because of Patrick going in. And you guys know, you guys around me talking this sport is like. I was screaming for him before this tournament, before the Big East tournament came, and then they won and actually made themselves an automatic bid to get into the tournament. So I'm like, okay, he brought my spirit back, and then they get blown out. It's like, man, whatever. Okay. Last night, I saw the Stars and Moon. That's an R&B song. I don't know if you guys ever heard it, but I'm trying to be funny. And first, we had Stanford and South Carolina go at it, and man, let me tell you, in the words of Terrell Owens, get your popcorn ready. That game went down to the buzzer. Do you hear me? And back and forth for the last couple of possessions as well. And I'm looking at, and this is how I view the game. I'm going to just kind of personally look at the situation. There's what, 19 seconds on the clock, or no, 9 seconds on the clock, actually. I'm sorry, excuse me. And, South Carolina has, I think, 4 fouls. So they have to keep fouling, you know, to try to get them to shoot free throws. And I'm looking at this and, like, this is going to go on forever. They inbound the ball. The girl off to the left of the Stanford player, I guess, made contact with the ball from what the ref's view was. From what I saw, I thought it was bodily contact. But, however, the Stanford player lost the ball. South Carolina's player picks up the ball, and she starts running the length of the court from half court. She's taking and this is a discussion that we had in a different room on CH, that the young lady took a bad angle to try to throw the layup up at the glass. And by the time she got it off the glass, it hits the rim, and the young lady, I think her last name is Boston, she gets the rebound and has a clear putback to get there in the rim before the time expires. It hits the back iron, it comes off, and the buzzer sounds, and Stanford ends up advancing. And just knowing that when she missed the shot, she knew she missed, she started crying instantly on the court. I felt so horrible for her because, somebody has to lose, somebody has to win. But when you have an opportunity to knock the shot down and you know within your heart that you can do this in your sleep and it doesn't happen, I can understand the frustration that happened with the young lady. A phenomenal game, and knowing that everybody had South Carolina being one of the teams to get to the national championship, I want to see how you guys felt about how this went down. I'll start with you first on this one, DT, the incredible finish with South Carolina and Stanford.
Well, I'll say this much. I didn't get as much of a chance to see it. I don't want to steer the people in the wrong direction that are listening because I do take this stuff seriously. But because I was on the road, on my way to Indy. But what I will say is that I did hear some of it. Obviously, I saw highlights and so forth, and it's very unfortunate I can't anticipate anybody's feeling extremely bad, you know what I mean, for the UConn faithful because they win so much, which I think is a little bit even more telling because it's got me thinking, when is the last time UConn girls won a national championship? Let me get that out the way first. When was the last time that UConn girls won a national championship?
I think it's like 5 years ago.
Wow. At one point, I feel like we all could pretty much say who we knew were going to win. And of these last couple years, it's been like, oh, they didn't win it this year. Wow, that's the first. Oh, they didn't win it, in this year either. Wow, okay, I'm sure they'll win it next year. And then the next year comes around, and we're talking about 4 or 5 years that they haven't won a national championship, which I think is showing maybe some parity, maybe showing that some of the girls are growing up, maybe wanting to go to other places, make names for themselves. And that's why you hear some of these schools that weren't typically really good traditional powers in women's college basketball. I think Kentucky and a few others that I've seen over the years that have seemed like they've kind of come from out of nowhere. But while I didn't get a chance to see the game, I definitely heard a lot about it. And it's definitely unfortunate. You get to see somebody's heartbreak and so forth. But that's what this is all about. It's not just March Madness for the men. It's March Madness for the women, too. And with everything going on around, in the world today, and just hearing a lot of you guys talking about women's basketball, like a lot of different groups have really been talking really heavy about women's basketball, and it's been making me feel like I'm missing out on a lot. No, I keep up enough to maybe keep a conversation with the average person, but I really feel like I'm missing out, and I definitely want to give kudos to the job that the women have done this year, too, because they've sacrificed a lot as well, and obviously with heavy hearts with the other stuff that is going on in terms of weight rooms and so forth, dealing with that with the NCAA, trying to stay focused at the game and on the game at the same time is, I'm sure, is tough to do.
Okay, Chris, your thoughts on how this game went down, especially with South Carolina having two opportunities to win the game because they lost this by one, so any basket would have won this. Your thoughts on how this went down?
Yeah, I even said leading up to the game that the Stanford Cardinal, the Lady Cardinals and the Lady Gamecocks of South Carolina, that this was going to be the best game of the tournament for either tournament. And it did not disappoint. And what I will say is Brea Beal played 40 minutes and only took 9 shots for the Gamecocks and only had 5 points. And she is their driving force. So I forget her first name, but Boston, who missed that layup, she had a monster game with 11 and 16. But this was a game that they didn't lose even in the final seconds. The refs kind of let them play, which is what we always say we want as fans. This was just a old-school, tough, up-and-down defensive battle for two teams that can put up triple, digits and points. And Brea Beal just did not have a good game. She was 2 for 9 from the field. She hits one more bucket in those 40 minutes that she played, they win. Also, what was unique for me was Coach Staley only went with a seven-player rotation, and one of them only played 2 minutes off the bench, so it was really just a six-person game. And I think that also might have attributed to it, because when you look at it, if you watch it towards the end, a lot of the play started to get like sloppy due to, I think, nerves, anxiety, plus a little bit of fatigue. I mean, we're coming at the end of the tournament. These girls are playing. They're still working out. And like you alluded to earlier, they're doing it without their family, right? So I think, you know, when this is going to be broken down, I think there's going to be a lot of broken hearts. But I think Coach Staley is going to use this. And I'll say this, everybody should watch out for South Carolina next year. But it was a phenomenal game. If you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth the watch leading up to the men's tournament. Just go ahead and throw on the replay. Just have it on in the background because they were getting at it.
Oh, for sure. And I do agree with you. I think that Dawn Staley will have this team prime and ready to make their run at the national championship. I mean, that's what all is about, because everybody's talked about either South Carolina or UConn winning it, and the two teams that lost were the two teams that everybody had pegged to get to the national championship, one being South Carolina, and the next game that I'm going to jump into is Arizona not only advancing to a national championship, but them beating UConn by 10 points. And the crazy part about this was UConn has been doing as much as they could to get to this point. Everybody felt that controversial ending up against Baylor might have pegged some type of doom around UConn, but everything fell short for UConn. They were missing layups, not hitting wide-open jump shots. Paige didn't start hitting shots until late in this game. I mean, it's always a perfect storm almost every time UConn ends up falling short. Whether they're in the Final Four or losing a game in a national championship. So I want to see how, well, Chris, you tell me how you feel about Arizona advancing. The way that McDonald was burning them, they could not keep up with her quickness. And she was hitting everything. And it was like every time UConn tried to get started to go on a run, she knew how important it was to score the ball, whether it was her doing something interesting or getting 2 feet in the paint and making somebody else be available to score. But she would take matters into her own hands and deal with the matchup that she had, which the girl that was defending her could not handle her one-on-one. But your thoughts on the matchup with Arizona advancing to the national championship?
Ari McDonald should be the most what's the award that they give for the best player in the tournament. That is just single-handedly
Most outstanding player.
Yeah, she even if I'm at the point now, even if they lose to Stanford, which surprise, shout out Pac-12, great job Pac-12 all final here. Even if she loses, I would give her the most outstanding player award. They could not stop her. Like, she shot 7 for 17, but guys, she was 8 for 11 from the line. Like, they anytime she needed to score, she would drive and get to the line and stop any type of momentum UConn was trying to build. I think you hit it right on the head, Ty. Like, they just could not figure her out. Also, I think they weren't really ready for the type of defense that Arizona came in and played. Like, every player except for one in the starting lineup had a steal, and they played in a way that kind of forced the ball only to two players in Connecticut's starting lineup. Which was Paige Beckers, and I'm forgetting the other guard. I think it was Williams, who took the predominant amount of shots. And I think that's what their plan was. Their plan was saying, hey, we're going to let these two kind of go at it, and we're going to make it extremely difficult for everybody else. Like Nelson Adota, she was 0 for 7 from the floor. Edwards was only 3 for 6. Westbrook was 4 for 9, and then on top of that, they kept them off the boards too. And one thing that UConn has the ability to do is just rebound a team to death, and Arizona was able to out-rebound them. I think they just weren't really prepared, and they were sleeping because they thought they were going to walk right through it. It's going to be interesting to see the breakdown that's going to come out, you know, pretty much all day today up until the men's game and even after. But shout out to Ari McDonald, man. That was just a brilliant game.
the craziest part about it was she did one of the James Harden sidestep 3-point shots, and after she hit it, she just folded her arms and looked at the crowd like, that girl is something else. look, she got a bag with her. This is going to be a great Pac-12 national championship. I got to give them credit. I am a Tara Vanderveer fan, but I want to see if she could get past what Arizona is. This is like destiny with Arizona, the way that they're playing ball. But Stanford with the epic win for them to pull this off up against South Carolina. Both of these teams have epic stories going forward. Chris, let me know who you think wins this game, Stanford or Arizona?
I have Stanford winning it. I said UConn would beat Arizona by double digits. I have Stanford beating Arizona by double digits, probably like a 64-62-ish type game. Stanford is a little bit taller, physical. They can out-rebound Arizona, and I think that's how they're going to end up beating them. So I have Stanford, by 11 or 12.
Okay, this is a tough one, man. DT, were you saying something? I don't know if that was you, Deshaun. Were you trying to speak?
Nope, that was not.
Okay, so just make it short. I don't know which way to go with this situation. Arizona, especially the way that McDonald's playing ball, or Stanford in the unit because they play as a team, and they're all ready to make this happen. Plus, they're familiar. Like, this is the third matchup that they have on this type of stage. I'm going to go with Arizona to pull this off. I think the quickness of McDonald gets it done, man. I think that they stun Stanford and bring one back to the state of Arizona. I think this is what happens. I'm going with Arizona to pull this off. Even though, like I said, I'm a Vanderveer fan, but it's just something incredible about Arizona and the run that they're on right now. I'm going to go with the Wildcats.
Hey, man, that's a great play because they do have all the momentum. I'm going, based on the play earlier this year, the last game they played, Stanford beat them 81-54, but Arizona didn't have everybody available. But, momentum is everything in March and in the first week of April, so you very well might be right, Ty.
We will see. That score sounds pretty incredible for them to be blowing them out that bad, even if they missed about three players. I don't know how many players are missing in that game, but to make up over 20 points, I want to see how much of that ball gets distributed for them to make up for that type of loss. But I'm still going to go with Arizona. That's a big blowout that Stanford has the edge on them. We will see. Okay, so we have a little bit of time because this is going to be a heavy Final Four discussion. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. The gloves are off. The love is done. Everything sets off at 5:15 this evening, Eastern Standard Time. The first game we have is the Battle of Texas. The Houston Cougars ranked number 2 out of their respected bracket going up against the number 1 Baylor Bears out of their respected bracket. Houston's 28-3 on the season. Baylor's 26-2 on the season. Baylor is more of the highly coveted team in the nation, but Houston was a top 10 ranked team as well. All of the lights are here. Special story after special story. Man, DT, I'll let you set it off. Your thoughts on this game, man, like the impact of the state of Texas, like what way do you think the state sways? Like the success that Baylor's been up to or the heartfelt situation behind Kelvin Sampson and the Cougars?
No, I would imagine that the fan base, it's going to be so much Baylor just because we know so much more and so forth. This is a Houston team, though, you got to give a lot of credit to. Nothing's going to surprise me during this time of the year when you look at both games. At one point in time, we was all looking forward to the LeBron versus Kobe matchup, and they had the puppet commercials, and we never saw it. We never saw it. And that is, you know, are we all going to feel a little cheated if we don't get to see the Gonzaga versus Baylor? Maybe. But we're not just inserting names here because these are two other teams. Listen, we didn't automatically insert Kentucky in 2015. Wisconsin had something to say. That team was 38-0. There's no exception. There's nothing different about this year. This Houston team feels like they're special. They certainly have the coaching advantage in terms of that matchup. I think that Scott Drew is a lot more vulnerable than the proven coach that Kelvin Sampson is as either a Hall of Famer or a well overdue Hall of Famer. But, you know, I think the fact that they're a small team, I don't know if that helps or hurts Houston because of the fact that they like to, you know, obviously offensively rebound and then defensively how they get after it. But they like to get up and down that floor. And they like to get up and down the floor. And when you're a smaller team, you like to beat bigger teams down the floor. But Baylor's not the biggest team in the world either. And they have a lot of guards. And that's something I think is not really helping Houston in the most of ways. I mean, listen, they're getting back to this thing since for the first time since a king was born in 84. That would be me, by the way. And Clyde Drexler and Akeem Olajuwon, and I'm probably showing my age a little bit by calling him Akeem because that's exactly who he was at that time. He was Akeem without the H. But Baylor, I think that the key is Jonathan Chamwa-Chachua in the front court, who's their only big essentially on this team, and he's only 6'8". But the guard play is going to have to be phenomenal for Baylor, who's a three-point shooting team. You guys got to remember, a lot of these guys have been playing in other places. They've been playing at, you know, Assembly Hall or at Butler's Hinkle Fieldhouse. Now I'm curious to see how the shooters are going to shoot because now they're shooting in a dome, and that's always a bigger that's always a big difference. The rim looks a lot shorter because the ceiling is so much higher. So all those things are, you know, very intricate pieces and key pieces to this game on tonight. And I'm not as quick. Obviously, I'm going to take Gonzaga and Baylor to move forward, but I just don't think that it's nearly what everybody thinks it's going to be. And obviously, I give Houston a better shot than I probably do UCLA right about now.
Okay, Chris, your thoughts on the Battle of Texas, you know, if you want to analyze this as well, but who do you like also between the Cougars and the Bears?
I'll preface this from people in Texas that I know. A lot of people actually don't like Baylor. A lot of them are pulling for Houston. There's an issue in Texas amongst the teams, and Baylor kind of feels disrespected amongst other Big 12 Texas teams like Texas, Texas Tech, et cetera. But I really do like Houston. I think what Deshaun is saying, and if everybody's listening, he's dropping a gem. They're going into Lucas Oil Stadium, a football stadium. Like, forget trying to put it over, you know, where the Pacers play at the field house. Let's put it in a football stadium. It's going to dwarf the court. And shooters need to feel comfortable, and I don't think Baylor's going to get comfortable. Houston's got a great running team, and I think the coaching aspect, like Deshaun said, is going to have Houston eke out a win over Baylor because I think Baylor might be really cold.
Really? We have a split in this building. Okay, so this is tough. This is really tough. I like the way Houston plays together. I like the way Baylor is – they attack and they get after the glass. Like, both of these teams, this is going to be one rebounding game. I really want to see, like, when the shots get missed. I mean, who could out-physical who? This is almost like the Tom Izzo drill. That is one thing I will give Izzo credit when he does his rebounding drill with the Michigan State Spartans. It's ridiculous how these guys have to box out. And I want to see, you know, who gains possession of the ball. That means everything. Rebounds mean everything in basketball. People underrate it, but you gain possession, you get your opportunity to get your offense intact, and I'm really going to give Baylor the edge. I think Baylor has that edge, but I don't want to poo-poo Houston or go against Kelvin Sampson because I am a big Kelvin Sampson fan, but at the rate that Baylor's been able to do this and being able to score as a unit coming off the bench and being able to provide toward the game as well, they have notable name after notable name, but, you know, Houston has also done their exceptional job as well, and Dejan Giroux grown on me from the leadership role that he's been able to attain to be with this Cougar team. But I'm going to go with Baylor to pull this one off and win the Battle of Texas. Okay, so I'm going to get into the next game. And, by the way, Baylor's favored by 5 in this matchup up against Houston. The next game with UCLA going up against Gonzaga, this is a little bit different as Gonzaga's favored by 14 in this matchup. UCLA probably the best story going right now in the Final Four. For them to go from the play-in, the first four in type situation, to now being in the Final Four, I mean, incredible run. And Gonzaga, they've been beating everybody by more than 10 points for the past 20-some-odd games now, in which they've been blowing people out recently, too. And this is the time I feel that, you know, Mark Few is in a good situation to get his first national championship. He has to seal the deal, man. I mean, these opportunities don't come for everybody. He has a great unit right now. But I want to see how you guys feel about this. I'll come to you first on this, Chris. Your thoughts are UCLA going up against Gonzaga, a buzzsaw and a Cinderella story, and hopefully the clock is not at 11:59.
Man, I tell you, we talk about Gonzaga now every year, getting to the Final Four, having great seasons, never being able to finish. If they do not beat UCLA, they really have to stop complaining about people talking negatively about Gonzaga not being able to seal the deal, because UCLA, guys, this team shouldn't be here. They as Ty alluded to, they were in a play-in game, and they have just proceeded to beat everybody every game in the tournament, being the underdog almost. It's surreal. I think Gonzaga gets it done. I think Jalen Suggs is too much of an NBA player for UCLA to handle. And I think this might be his coming out game in terms of, hey, let's not talk about Cade Cunningham being the number one pick. I'm a pretty good basketball player too. But I do have to say, man, my heart wants UCLA to win. My greatest basketball moment is Tyus Edney going coast to coast in that championship game and hitting that layup tie. I don't know if you remember that game, but that is, I was listening to it on AM radio, sneaking up, you know, staying up past my bedtime, and I had screamed so loud that I woke up the house and got in trouble. So my heart is in UCLA, go Bruins, but I just don't see them having enough to beat Gonzaga. And as you say, I think Cinderella's going to run into a buzzsaw, and I think the clock is going to strike 12 tonight at 8:34 in Indianapolis.
Not only do I remember it, I was watching that game live. I still remember the urgency of Tyus getting up court and trying to make something happen, and he had both Charles and Ed O'Bannon on the floor, and the little man himself jumped into the chest of one of the big men and just created that layup and to get it in there and win the game. That is definitely legendary moment in UCLA history, and not only UCLA history, but, you know, NCAA basketball history as well. Man, DT, I mean, your thoughts on this one. I know this is actually a little personal situation on how you may or may not want this to go down, but your thoughts on this matchup between the Bruins and the Dogs out there in Washington, who gets this done? I mean, how do you feel this thing going down for which team to advance?
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is what it comes down to at the end of the day. Game, you know, championships aren't won in four games, they're won in six. And we're not just handing over championships that easily. Gonzaga has to beat those guys. That's just what it is.
you know, when it UCLA does, this isn't a seven game series. Okay, this is being better than the other team, if we're not nothing else, than 40 minutes on the floor, God forbid that, you know, it goes to overtime. I think that if anybody has, like I said before, helped themselves out in terms of the July's NBA draft, that name is probably Johnny Juzang, the transfer from Kentucky, but Tommy Hockey has done a good job as well. I mean, they're going to need some help in the front court, obviously, and I think in order to win this game, you've got to get Drew Timmy in foul trouble. I mean, let's just be real about it. Like, this is a team that is very – who can we really name coming off of Gonzaga's bench for real? Like, I'm always kind of curious of that. Like, after looking at their starting five, who can you really, really name? Maybe Andrew Nembhard is probably, you know, the exception. But and it's shocking that we probably don't – and I don't want to speak for you guys by any means, but it's shocking that we probably don't know much about it as much as they've been on the floor and seen, you know, seen the court, because Gonzaga's been up by so many points so many times this season. But in the event that you put Drew Timmy in foul trouble, they're going to have to start digging deep down on that bench. And who knows? Could that be the same time that we've seen Jalen Suggs look like a freshman for the first time this season? Maybe. I don't know. Could that also be the same time that Corey Kispert is not hitting shots? Remember, you're playing in the dome now, so it's different. That's a possibility. I don't know. But, yeah, they've got to win the championship or I'll never pick them again on my bracket. And it's just that simple for me personally. Okay, I've said multiple times over and over that I think that their issue when they get to this time of the year is the fact that they realize that they needed to beef up their non-conference schedule. And they've done that over time. Some they've won, some they've lost. This year they've won. And even more so, you know, they go from playing these tough non-conference opponents to turning around and playing in a regular year 18 games of West Coast competition. And then you get adjusted to that, playing a different, maybe not different style or different way, but mentally you're now going from playing Zion and those guys, Duke and those guys, and beating RJ and Cam and all those guys in the Maui Invitational, and now you're turning around and playing San Francisco and Pepperdine. Those are two different entities. And because you have to do that for such an extensive amount of time in the conference tournament, now after you win that in a regular year, you now have to readjust to non-conference opponents all over again, and the competition only gets better. And by the way, it's win or go home. And I think that's one of the reasons why we don't see them as successful as they could be. Now, this year, there's just no excuse. That's just what it is. I expect it to be somewhat of a good game, at least for the first half, potentially. And UCLA could scare some people. But this could be the time where we realize that Killian Tilly, who's not there anymore, Philip Petrusev, who's not there anymore, could be the reasons behind, you know, UCLA could potentially shock the world. Do I expect that? Absolutely not. But I'm definitely not going to, you know, go against a team or just hand it over to them, but going against a team that obviously has some of the best chemistry, has made this game look too easy this year, this entire year, every game. They've made it look extremely easy, and they've got the chemistry, and it doesn't appear that they have many egos, and they look like they're having a great time as well.
As long as they weren't up late night watching Paul Pierce on Instagram, I think we're going to have a great game.
What was the outcome of that?
Have you seen it, Deshaun?
I have not. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Ooh, you're going to have some fun, man. Go when we get off the show, bro, I'll send you something.
Okay, because I see Cedric. It must be pretty popular because I see Cedric down there at the bottom with his PTR. So, okay, I'm interested. It looks like he's having a good time. I can say that much.
Ty, what do you think, man?
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. 2 seconds.
It looks like, okay, somebody rubbing their fingers in his hair. Okay, yeah, you're going to have to send this to me. Yeah, I see bra straps and all types of stuff in the background. So, yeah, you're going to send that to me.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe this is happening. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pick this game. I mean, of course, like I said, I feel Gonzaga. I love Mark Few as a coach. But UCLA's story, for them to get this far, epic stuff, and them to be 11th seed to try and get to a championship, it would be incredible if they could shake up the world. But the momentum that Gonzaga's on, I think that they're determined and not just getting caught up in the moment of getting to a Final Four. They know that they have to seal the deal for their coach. This has to be for Coach Few to like to be selfish about it, like not even just knowing that they're a team, they're a unit, they're getting there together, all together. But Mark Few has done a great job out there and not getting the credit because of the conference that he's in. I can't see Gonzaga falling short, but it can happen. I can't say that it can't, and we'll be upset. I definitely will be upset as well, but I don't know how else to look at this. I think Gonzaga definitely has to be primed to try and bring this back to the Northwest region of the United States of America.
Hey, so, Tom, can I say something? One more thing.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how, because history is going to take place. Whether it be on today, on Monday, history is going to take place. We have a team in Baylor that has not been since 1950. By the way, there were 60 less teams in the tournament at that point. We had 18 tournament. We have the 1984 Houston Cougars. You haven't seen them get to this point. Gonzaga has never gotten to this point in terms of winning a national championship, but returning now back to the Final Four to try and finish the deal, unbeaten, by the way. And then you have the UCLA Bruins, who are probably the biggest underdog in this whole thing, or maybe the worst team. They were playing an extra game in the first four, who's one of the most historic traditional college basketball powerhouses ever. I think they have more banners hanging than anybody in the sport. So it's just crazy to think of just some of the storylines that are coming out of this whole thing. I wanted to make sure I mentioned that because it's just crazy how, you know, nobody's giving the dominant, you know, the team with the most banners hanging up a chance, very much of a chance, against a team that has zero hanging up and came all the way down from being one of the bigger, probably most popular Cinderellas that we've ever, you know, from Cinderella to number one, I guess, at this point type of storyline. I just think it's mind-boggling personally.
I mean, I can't say too much more to what you mentioned, man. The gloves are off right now. Everybody has to make this happen, man. They have to. I mean, Chris, is there anything that you'd like to add to what Deshaun said also?
I would love to have seen what UCLA would have been this season if they had Nick, who elected to go to the G League Ignite. But there's really not much to add because Deshaun just broke it down, you know, almost too perfectly, right? Like, history will
right.
be made one way or the other, and he's right, 100%.
I'm just hoping that we could do the best we could to try to add to it, but. I mean, the Houston story is the one that I want to see best because of Kelvin Sampson and everything that he's gone through, whether it was what he went through with the Hoosiers, him battling cancer, like that's heavy in itself. But then Mark Few's situation on him trying to get that championship back into the Northwest region and having people point fingers at them, oh, well, they win a whole bunch of games, but they can't do nothing in the tournament. And DT, Gonzaga has gotten to a championship, and when they lost to North Carolina just a few years ago, too. So Few was close. And he's had so many successful players come through that organization and do as much as possible, not only with Gonzaga, but also in the league as well. He's produced some men to go out there and get contracts in the NBA. So I don't know, man, especially just like you mentioned, 1950 was the last time Baylor's gotten here. UCLA is the one with the most banners up there. Shout out to John Wooden and company, but if I had to pick it, I mean, well, we'll get into that. I want to go into that right now. I think, Who picked Houston? Was that you, Deshaun?
I picked Houston.
So they both picked Houston. Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys have Houston and Gonzaga in the national championship on Monday, correct?
Yeah, that's who I have.
Yeah.
Who brings this thing home, the Cougars or the Bulldogs? Is it a cat and dog situation if this is what you guys are telling me?
I personally think this is Mark Few's year.
Wait, say that again. You think?
Yeah, he's taking Gonzaga.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna go the same route. I'm a little skeptical because I'm one of those people that think so weird outside the box. Probably think too much as I talk. Because I'm one of those weird people that think, man, if Houston gets through Baylor, dude, like, I mean, the world is. You got 40 minutes. You know, and most people say, man, you're absolutely crazy. But I don't think it will be that crazy. When you've seen what NC State has done to Houston and how they shocked the world, and I know that there's not a ton of that going on, but Houston is still a really good team. Yes, I'm taking Gonzaga because they have to do it. And it's hard not to take them because they've made every game look so freaking easy. What I wouldn't be surprised if they did not win. Like, there's always those feelings of you feeling like, I just don't know if they're actually going to do this. But I'll be honest with you, you know, they're hard to trust. And I feel like Gonzaga has burned people so many times. They do it this time. It's going to be one of those I knew better type of feelings. Like, I couldn't go against them, but I still knew better. We'll see what that's the beauty of this tournament. That is the beauty of this tournament, that anything can happen. It's still March. Think about this, guys, just for 2 seconds. I promise. I'm just going to wrap it up. What did we think was going to happen in yesterday's game?
I thought South Carolina, UConn, Phoenix,
How crazy could that? You understand what I'm saying? Like, the games are still played. People think, oh, they got to the Final Four. That's the end. No, that's not the end of the road. The road ends here. That's not the end yet. So that's the beauty of it, you know, is that Houston still has this chance where maybe people are not giving them much of one, much like Arizona. And UCLA has much of a chance, much like people are not giving that chance to Stanford or whatever, what have you. So I just kind of want to throw that in there because I think that we automatically are – so many people are automatically looking at the teams, and they're like, ah, I see what's going on here. Yeah, obviously, Baylor and Gonzaga. They're going to give the people what they want. Okay, the politics. It's not that simple all the time. That's what I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, so I'm the only one that has Baylor and Gonzaga, basically the number one and two seed overall going at it in the national championship. And I'm going to stick to it. If it goes down the way that I have it pegged, I'm going with Mark Few. I'm going with Mark Few to bring this thing back to the state of Washington. I mean, enough is enough, Mark. And not like I'm pegging this as like I'm tired of it. It's just like emotionally I want to see him do it. I could just imagine him and his speech, how elated he may be or if he may get emotional. He's that type of guy that is on the humble. That's the type of coach that I like. Like, he could probably get all riled up during the game and go after referees and get after his team if they let a team get a 10-0 run on him or something. But, you know, when he's approaching his conversations and his pressers, so on and so forth, he's so humble and it's like it's respectable. I understand it. So I feel Mark Few brings this thing back and throws the relevance that everybody across the country does not want to give Gonzaga. It's like you can't just pick up that state of Washington and move them in the middle of North Carolina and South Carolina is like, hey, be an ACC team. And if they played in the Pac-12 and they started dominating the Pac-12, it can't be like, oh, well, the Pac-12 isn't as strong as they were. Like, what is he to do? He's doing as best as he can with the unit that he's given, with the schedule that's in front of him. And I think he deserves to get his credit. I think this is the run that he needs. But it all starts here in front of UCLA. They can't overlook them. They can't look at Monday. They have to answer the bell 8:34 p.m. Eastern Standard. In the middle of Indianapolis. Okay, so we are getting close to the tail end of the show. Or anything that you two may want to add before we start closing up around here and setting up shop for this Final Four to take flight?
Absolutely. Let me go ahead and jump in real quick. Listen, I would imagine this is probably going to be our last one unless you guys want to recap it next week. I'm not sure if there's much point of that after so long, but in the event that this is, hey man, listen, I met you guys on this platform, never met you in person, but, you know, it's just developing and establishing the relationships, which is what all of this is about, and giving me an opportunity to showcase some of my expertise and my passion that I have for college basketball and being willing, you know, just being willing to see the vision. So I do appreciate that and just creating this whole room and that type of deal and just, you know, the fact that I can educate some people on things that they may not have known or that they didn't know and reminded them of or whatever the case. I am appreciative of at least that much, man. So thanks.
You already know.
Yeah.
And people, you were trying to get me to get to Indy, not now, but right now. Like, he was not playing around. He was like, "Time, man, just come on, man. Just get to Indianapolis, man. We're going to go crush it." I'm like, "Man, I don't know, man. They not playing, so." I wish I was out there balling with my boy, man, and enjoy some snacks while watching the game or getting him to get some real chicken wings because this dude's trying to tell me about chicken wings in America, people. I don't know how or why, but this is what I'm dealing with Deshaun Tate. Chris, go ahead, and then I'll start getting closeouts from the two of you as well.
Yeah, I wish I could hook up with Deshaun here in Indianapolis. I actually have to head down to Tennessee for some family stuff. We started this room to talk about college ball to support, you know, the community we're building. But honestly, let's be real. This is your show, so you know I'm thanking you for being here on Saturday and bringing what you have because really you are the driving force, and I'm appreciative for you allowing me to be with you, Deshaun. Man, you are so good at what you do. We are always going to be in contact, us three, because I think what both of y'all have only helps me and makes me better. So I'm really appreciative as well. Thank you, Deshaun, for coming up on Saturdays. Thank you, Ty, for allowing me to be on here as well.
Well, we could probably, if you guys want, we could probably do something Monday right before the game if we want. It's up to y'all. Or we'll talk about the situation as it comes. I know there's a lot of stuff that comes around within NBA on CH as well, so probably have to pick by the schedule, and I don't know if there's room, but if we can, we'll discuss it and keep everybody advised as best as possible. I need plugs and closeouts from the both of you before we get up out of here. I'll start with you first, DT, because I know you're there in Indiana, and I'll let you get going first. Your, you know, plug, closeout, shout-out, anything that you'd like to promote as we get up out of the tailgate.
No, and just for you guys, man, appreciate you guys and even those who have just stopped by once to listen or have stopped by every single Saturday morning that we've done this. Appreciate that. Just remember to go in, you know, subscribe to the podcast. It's called Tate's Take. Anywhere you find your favorite podcast, we call it the best, the most informational, the most educational, and the most entertaining basketball content on the planet. In the form of a podcast. So be sure to, you can leave up to a 5-star rating. You can leave a review. Just go and subscribe. It takes you less than 30 seconds unless you got an Obama phone, and that ain't got nothing to do with me. So feel free to go and subscribe, man. I tell people all the time, tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell your mama, tell your grandmama, tell your baby mama. And I'm just thankful for everybody that does that. Follow along on all social media platforms as well, at Takes Take Hoops, where basketball lives.
An Obama phone, and people say I'm funny, man. Oh man, I tell you, Chris, I need a closeout, bro. It's something else. I need a plug closeout phone.
Yeah, I'm trying not to laugh on air, man. That was the funniest thing other than Paul Pierce I've heard this morning. Check us out, NBA on CH. Check my Twitter out, our Basketball Zoo, IG Basketball Zoo. ZooSports.com, click on the episodes list, and you'll hear great conversations with people across the globe about their love of the game, people like Tamir Goodman, people like Mark Blutman, people like Jonathan Rigu, who helped the NBA expand into India, all about the love of the game when they first fell in love with it. I plan on trying to get Deshaun on there after the basketball season, haven't approached him because he's on his grind 24/7. Check him out, Tate Take Hoops. It's definitely dope. Has so many wonderful people up there. Timeless, you guys got to follow Sports City Chefs. Check him out. Over a decade in, 700,000 plus, he's syndicated. He knows what he's doing, and he's one of the most entertaining people I've met here on the app. Those are my plugs, man. You two guys are phenomenal. Thank you.
SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. Every which way we're on, Spotify. You can catch us on Linktree, Apple, Sports City's everywhere. NBA on CH, the committee, the community, the family, everybody that I've got in line with to do this on every Saturday for the past, what, 8 Saturdays we've been going at it. I had to try and warn these people about my Hoyas, even though I'm so pissed off with Patrick Ewing, so I'm up and down. And y'all don't know, outside of this doggone kitchen, this building, I began told that I need to get to Atlanta to taste these chicken wings. They said they got the best wings in the country, y'all. So I might be heading down there to go check out DT, to go see him face up, since I can't get to Indianapolis. I want to, but couldn't. But I got to go check him out and see what he's all about. He's trying to tell me how to eat, y'all. I'm the fat boy, and he's in shape. Yeah, I'm the fat boy, and he's in shape. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs. Kaboom, Sports City chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Sports City, chef, you, chef, you. Sports City, Sports City, chef, you, chef, you. Yeah. Cabin. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.